15 minutes past the hour of 6 in Barbados in the Eastern Caribbean. This is the Penalty Spot in association with the Barbados Football Association. For the next hour, we take a look at the world of local, regional and international football. Of course, with a big focus on the BFA's Coca-Cola Premier League campaign. We have new leaders at the top of the league and we discuss all of the goings on over the past 7 days. This is the Penalty Spot, as I said, in association with the BFA. As per usual, you can give us a call, 43-41790. You can also send your emails in 18sports246@gmail.com. We have a full studio tonight, including our special guest, the BFA President Randy Harris. Nick Maitland is here as well. And let's dive straight into it. I guess we can begin with President Harris. Good evening to you, Randy. Well, welcome back to the island. And of course, the good news, the big news, the Premier League now with a sponsor. I know we were a couple years without, and definitely a plus for the league.
Well, good evening, everybody. We are happy and because we worked hard to try to get assistance for football in this country, not only in Premier League, but Coca-Cola has come to the assistance of the BFA, and we really look forward to a really exciting 2020 Premier League season.
A number of games now, 2 weekends in. What's been the response from the other members of the public, the executive, to the new deal?
Well, I believe everybody is happy and appreciative. We have been putting some things in place to make the competition even more efficient. And I believe in another couple of weeks, we should be there. We have appointed event coordinator.
Yes.
And basically that is to make sure that whatever little niggling problems will be minimized. And I think it would be a great thing for the players because then they have somebody who is responsible to them for making sure that everything is as organized as it should be.
A bit off the beaten path, but last night we were doing a game and Paul mentioned a scenario to me and I was wondering, I'll put it to you, is there a cap on the number of foreign players per team? We've had a couple teams now with some overseas talent. Is there a cap and what's the number?
The number is 5.
5 per team?
Yeah.
Or 5 on the field or 5 per team?
5 per team.
Altogether?
5 registered.
Okay, so 5 per team, Paul. Yeah. I was wondering what it was and if it was, because I guess it's also a plus that the league has become so attractive that we're getting several of our Caribbean and Central and South American neighbors opting to play some football in the Premier League.
Yeah, it is a good thing for football in Barbados, but obviously we still have to be protective of our talent in Barbados. We don't want to open it to any and everybody and have just foreign players playing in Barbados. We still have to expose our players to that level of football. And I believe the synergy between both those from outside of Barbados and the Bajans should redound to the benefit of the football, quality of football overall.
Okay, one more question before we dive into the Premier League action. You're also wearing 2 hats, president of the CFU as well. And what's the latest now on the regional body?
Well, we have just selected a general secretary. Okay. That should make life a lot more easier for me.
And, can you announce it? Can you announce it? Yeah,
of course. His name is Cameron David. He's a Trinidadian. He was the former General Secretary of the TNT FA. He has a FIFA Masters, well-qualified, a bright young man. And we look forward to some very positive things happening because he has some great ideas to bring to the regional football.
A little less traveling as well for you.
Yeah, of course.
Let's look back at the weekend in the Premier League. The nightcap game last night, Weymouth Wales getting past Wotton by a 1-0 margin, a goal from Romario Hereward. Paul, Nick, not the typical Wales performance as yet. They are more efficient so far than flamboyant, given the quality of play we've associated with Wales. They normally go 1-2-3 up in a hurry. And we've seen some, I guess, that more workman-like performances thus far from Weymouth Wales, the defending knockout champions and perennial title challengers for the Premier League title.
Yeah, good evening, fellas. Good evening, listeners. And yes, particularly this season, I realised that new coach, Ronaldo Gilkes, who is no stranger to this room, he has really gone for a different kind of ethos, can we say, for Wales. Wales, as you said, normally a very flamboyant team, a lot of skill shown, but now they seem to be favouring defensive, being more defensively resolute this season. Two clean sheets so far. They don't really look tested under pressure by any of the teams they've faced. Granted, they've faced Wotton and University of the West Indies. No disrespect to those two teams, but they seem really comfortable under pressure, especially in defence. So I think that the coach is really favouring that defensive stability rather than the flair. And as he's keep alluding to, I think later on in the season when he introduces those younger players, you may see a good blend of experience with youth. But no, the experience is really making Wales very, very solid.
A number of players have either left the club or gone to managerial roles, in the case of Omari Eastman. Any glaring areas where you can say there has been, you know, a regression, a weakness? I've found that a lot of the players that have come in have risen somewhat to the challenge. I'm very, very impressed with Renico. It's Marshall.
Marshall, yeah.
Yeah, seems to be very, very comfortable on the ball coming forward. And things look pretty good for Weymouth Wales at this stage at least.
Yeah, I think early on they look pretty secure and look like they have quality in all the positions. I saw Kemar Chase come off the bench last night. He started the first game as well. And in midfield, I think they may need one or two more options in midfield, because I think last night all the midfielders were on the pitch, including Snag and Jeffrey Williams, Romario Hereward, Hayden Holligan, Marquez. All those guys were on the pitch. So I think in midfield, they may need a couple more options. And up top is really, they look kind of top heavy. And that's where Jux's managerial noose is really going to come into effect, because he has to manage all those egos, all those players. Shea Lloyd coming off the bench, Shaquille Boyce. These players want to start. These players are accustomed to starting. So they don't look, they're lacking in any position. But up top, I think they need to, you really need to employ good management to get all those guys some minutes.
Well, speaking of Wotton, we have one of the Wotton representatives in the studio, Rashid Belgrave. Good evening to you, Rashid. Welcome to the program. Credit to the performance last night. You went a man short after 10 minutes. Your first choice keeper was dismissed. At that stage, many fans and a few of the commentators as well feared for the result, especially after Wales went 1-0 up. But credit to Wotton. 10 men against Weymouth Wales, a 1-0 defeat. I think, all things considered, that was a solid performance.
Well, good night, listeners. Really appreciate how the game was assessed. In terms of the card, debatable.
You would say so, yeah.
Very, very debatable. Honestly, we don't think that it was a straight red. A yellow,
okay.
Probably. A yellow at worst. It wasn't a goal-scoring opportunity. You know, they were going away from the bar. But anyhow,
you can't
play and referee the game at the same
it's
time.
True.
But on the same hand, credit has to go out to the coach. You would know him as Mali or Aline.
Yes.
Weymouth Wales coach.
For a couple of seasons, so, yeah.
You know, Wotton, we moved from the first division up to the Premier League, so obviously we had to look for an experienced coach with talent as well. And right now what he's doing is building, like a builder right now, putting together a side. So basically, it was all tactics against Wales last night, perfectly executed. Even though we lost, my love, we still feel like we win the game, because actually playing against a top-tier team in the league, and you walk away scared of only one goal, which barely made it into the net. A goal is a goal,
yeah.
Right? A goal is a goal, but given the standard of play, we know Wales could play the same 1-2-3, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't where they executed clinically that you could say what Wotton was beaten before even a chance. Because at some point in time, I don't think they were even able to penetrate the defense, right? And credit goes out to the players who made the sacrifice when the keeper went off, a young man went into the bar, and we played one man short, but we still gave them a run for the money.
So as you mentioned, I think your defense in particular was pretty solid.
Yeah.
It was a pretty solid defensive effort. You have some hefty center backs as well.
Yeah.
And the guys look decent in the face of some consistent pressure.
Yeah. Like I said, it is like nurturing a baby, nurturing a team, you know, trying to gel together. Obviously, like I said before, we, you know, moving to Premier League, you got to get some more experienced players etc., and bring some players into the team. So it's just trying to manage them, but still gelling together at the back, like the game itself. You wouldn't expect a team only playing together for the second time to execute the plans to the T. Whereas you have a man short and players have to adjust themselves. So you set up a solid defense to go about the UMF onslaught, because if it was another team, probably they could have walked away 3, 4, 5 left, right? But that's just to show that we're not here just to stay, but we're here to compete.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Before we go to the commercial, I see this season you have Darion King. How much of him you're going to have for the season?
Well, we can't disclose that.
This is the state secret?
The Walter community state secret, you know, in terms of his travel movements and what's not. You know, he's a tennis player as well, so we want to advertise his schedule, but we may have him for majority of the games, but we won't see which games, you know. But obviously, we needed him for a game such as Wales. We needed that flair, that talent in the midfield, the skill, controlling, passing the ball. We needed not only talent, but a senior player in the side as well, because as you would know, he played with us from second and third division. So we need somebody on the field to at least command the talents of the other players.
Correct. Right.
Just 2 games gone so far.
Yeah.
Okay, from what the guys have experienced. You know, 4 teams are going down at the end of the season.
Yeah, we don't plan to be. But continue.
You go ahead. You think you got the ability there in that squad to stay up this season? We've seen a lot of them come up over the last 2 or 3 seasons. They've gone right back down. Some came in here promising to shoot missiles,
right,
and all kinds of things.
Right. So we don't intend to shoot missiles. You know, we're not Trump or anybody. But what I'm saying, we are there. All right, when teams make it to Premier League, the first thing you hear from other coaches or from other teams, you know, you got to try to stay. The priority for us is not staying up, because if you're just trying to stay, you will just come and play football at the lesser end. Okay. Meaning we will just play enough to stay in Premier League, right? We're actually there to compete. You're actually there, even if you get to a position in the top tier, in the top of the league, finishing in the top of the league, is a great achievement. But I mean, we don't plan to just stay up. We plan to compete. So in the second round, Wales know that we're coming again. If so be it, the officials on our side this time, we will have 11 men to compete again. Right? But that's no disrespect to the officials. We know that the officials will see the game from one point of view and they will make the decision based on the circumstances. But just to let Wales know that
you're coming.
We coming. So even though it was a 1-1, it was a hard fought game, and like you said, we will start to play some very good football, but we had a plan. And the plan was well executed, and even though we lost 1-1, we still feel that we win the game.
Okay, this is the Penalty Spot in association with the BFA. We'll be back in a moment.
Football fans, it's the Coca-Cola Premier League. It's real football. Only the best of the best. Come see every pass, kick, dribble, slide, tackle, and goal at the Woolly Turf. Saturday, 5 p.m. Prittenhill versus Ellerton. 7 p.m. UWI versus St. Andrew Lions. And 9 p.m. Notre Dame versus PDF Sports Program. And Sunday, 4 p.m. Silver Sands versus Paradise. 6 p.m. Empire versus Deacons. And 8 p.m. Weymouth Wales versus Wharton. Call your friend, tell a friend, and be at the Woolly Turf. Admission only $15. Thanks to Nation News, Starcom Network, Hot 95.3 FM, Quartz Ready Cash, Dasani Water, Powerade, and Coca-Cola. It's the Coca-Cola Premier League at the Wildy Turf.
Welcome back to the program. Of course, we're taking your calls 4341780, your emails as well, 18sports246@gmail.com. Let's look at the upcoming games this weekend in the Premier League. We have Silver Sands versus Empire on Saturday at 7. We also have St. Andrew Lions versus Notre Dame at 9. And on Sunday, the 16th, it is Deacons versus Wharton at 4. At 6, it's Brittenhill versus Weymouth Wales, BDF Sports Program versus Paradise at 8. That's a game, Nick, people are already looking at in terms of one of the early big clashes for the season. Let's continue our assessment. However, last night also at 6, Deacons versus Empire, a goalless draw. I think that one would hurt Empire more, who would have perhaps looked at Deacons as one of the promoted teams and the points to be had. Empire ended the game 2 men short, and in terms of what will happen to them in the next game. They'll be without their two preferred defenders in Primus and Holligan, who were both sent off. Holligan for a foul, which in the context of the game, you can understand. Mm-hmm. You're locked at one goal apiece. The striker is in, and he was the last man, got sent off. Primus, two yellows, and no points as yet for the Empire team. Or do they have one point?
Have one.
1 point, yeah. They drawn first game. And then we have Paradise getting past Silver Sands, 2-0. Goals from the two recruits new to the team, Jabari Papi Chandler and Mario Hart. Lots of experience there. Two late goals once again, though. So Silver Sands did pretty well for the first 83 minutes of the game before they conceded. But once again, Paradise, Nick, early whispers, but fans, other clubs alike, are seeing Paradise as the club which could potentially spring a challenge to the usual status quo this season.
Yeah, and the transfers were, I think, all of them suit the team. All of them addressed problem areas that they had from previous seasons that they had not addressed. And I think that the game against Silver Sands, I think we have to give credit as well to Silver Sands, because even though going down 2-1 to Britain's Hill last week, they really came up with a firm defensive plan against one of the champions elect, we can call them. And they frustrated them for 83 minutes. And it was really only the introduction of Papi Chandler, I think just before the hour mark, that changed the game, because he became then a focal point. Because, you know, Armando Lashley, even though he's a centre forward or a striker, he tends to drift out wide, and Mario Hart was more deployed in an attacking midfield role. So there's really no one to occupy the centre backs and no one to be the focal point. And as soon as Chandler came on, he was that person, and they started creating chances. And then it was no surprise to me that he scored the opening goal. But as I said, credit to Silver Sands for frustrating them up to that point. And then Mario Hart just put the ribbon on the gift at the end of the 89th minute with a really nice goal. So I was really really impressed by Paradise, even though I think that they lack a bit of killer instinct, and Lashley and Henry weren't really on their game. And they cannot afford, especially a game like this weekend against the Soldiers, they cannot afford not to be on their game against a team that can defend so well. And even though they have only conceded, I think, one so far, it will be a battle between their attackers, certainly, and the BDF defenders. And whoever has the better game when they face each other will win the game.
Some messages coming in. Someone saying good luck to Watton for the remainder of the season. So you guys have some support. So lots of the fans sitting together. That's always nice. We need the community spirit coming back. And gotta love Barbadian. Someone asking if you'll have Coca-Cola giveaways, Randy. But
No, it is a fact.
It's coming.
Yeah. They heard something.
Gotta love Beige's boy Freeness.
Yeah. Well, the people who come to football, they got benefit too, man.
It's okay.
You know? So they had a problem.
Mm-hmm. So we also had on Saturday, BDF Sports Program getting past Notre Dame 2-0. Omani Leacock and Nicholas Best, two first half goals. St. Andrew Lions and Blackbirds playing to a 1-0 draw. Lions led and played, you would argue, the more consistent football in that game, Paul. And a defensive mistake in the dying moments of the game allowed.
Horrific.
Yeah, a back pass square across the box. I mean, you get told not to do that from 5 years old. But I guess it's just pressure and mental fatigue. And Niall Reid-Stephen stepped up, slotted one home, won all, they shared the points.
A little bit of redemption for him.
Yeah, he had a...
from last week.
He had a rough opening game, missed a penalty. That's never fun. And when you miss one late on, it's worse. But he's a quality young man. And I think many people believe he is definitely a bright spark for the future. And in the opening game on Saturday, Britain's Hill United and Everton played out a goalless draw. What does all of this mean at this stage as we look ahead to this weekend's games? Paradise lead on 6 points. Weymouth Wills also have 6, but they trail on goal difference. Paradise having scored 5 and conceded 1. Wills have not conceded, but have scored just 2 goals. Deacons are second on 4 points. Well, we actually have 5 teams on 4 points separated. Sorry, 3 teams on 4 points separated by goal difference. Deacons, BDS Sports Program, and Britain's Hill. Deacons have scored... have a goal difference of 3. BDF have a goal difference of 2. And Britain's Hill have a goal difference of 1. 6th position heading into this weekend's round of games. Notre Dame on 3 points with a goal difference of minus 1. Everton are in 2nd position with 2 points. And then we have in 8th, 9th and 10th. Blackbirds, Empire, and Lions. Blackbirds with a goal difference of -1. This is the same as Empire. Lions have a goal difference of -3. Watton with no points as yet. Silver Sands either, but Watton have a goal difference of -2. Silver Sands have a goal difference of -5. As you would have heard throughout the season, four teams will be going down at the end of this season, Paul, and that is impetus to for all of the teams to perform very, very well.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. You have 12 teams. You know that you have to play football. I don't think there are no easy games this season. You can't sneak in, you know, into the Premiership for next season. You have to play football. You have to win games. And it's going to be difficult for teams, especially when you come out of the first half of the season and you're languishing in that bottom part of the league. It's going to be hard at that stage to get from down there. So, you know, at this stage, teams must really be keen to get some wins on the belts early in the season.
Which is why I like the approach of Rashid. Don't come and try to stay up. Try to come and win games. Because if you try just to stay up, let's say your objective is to beat the fellow promoted teams. With four teams going down, if that is your objective, you're in trouble. You're not going to make it. You need to beat some of the established guys. Yeah. You need to go there and win games. Have they been practicing though? We always have clubs coming into the Premiership. You do all the hard work, you get there,
yeah,
and then they don't practice. And you see it on weekends.
All right, I think it's reverse for us because coming up through third and second division, you would have to bring on Jesus to get these men to practice, right? But I mean, in Premier League, you know, like the seriousness of the fellas. Listen, the first practice you had 20 men. I never ever see 20 men out of water practice yet.
Okay.
We start training back in January, right? We start training on December. And we break for the holidays. So that just shows the level of preparation that everyone is putting into this. Yeah, and just to go back to a point you made earlier, that we're here to compete. All right, look at this. Silver Sands played Paradise, right? Mm. Took Paradise down to the 80th minute.
Yeah, before conceding. Yeah.
Took before conceding. Deacons played in Pair, one of the top tier sides in the league, right? Mm. And we played Weymouth Vales. So a three teams that came up versus three of the top tier teams, and look at the results. So the results doesn't show these new teams getting a walkover. You're showing a serious competitive
side. You're competing.
So it just shows that all the teams that came up know that it's business. It's not business as usual where you come out and just try to stay up. You go come and try to at least make a statement for yourself. Because what you realize, and the fans as well, last night at football, you see matters. You know what football is.
Yeah.
You're seeing different category of fans, I should put it that way. You know, not just the regular football fans, but the Sunday morning mom. You know, who make church in the morning.
Yeah.
And you come and sit down the stand and hear a little bad language. But your boss is such and such, you know. But still, at football. So last night when you see the kind of crowds that actually come in and support the team, everyone that I saw today or messaged me on WhatsApp said probably that's the best game Watton ever played. We played very well. Remember, we lost one love, you know.
Yeah.
But everybody's saying, well, you know, a little more gelling, a little more practice, a little more energy.
And 11 men.
Yeah. You've got Deacons next.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's a big clash.
We played Deacons in the Championship. As you know, they won their zone in First Division.
Yeah.
We won ours and we played for the Championship. It was a hard-fought game. I think we lost 2-0 or 2-1. But there's no malice between us and Deacons, but it will be a competitive match.
You played a lot of games at the Turf in Division 1.
Yeah.
Surely seeing the benefits now.
Yeah, very, very much so. Because, like I said, training is very essential. And Watton's track record with training is not the best. So in terms of training and playing at the Turf, you know, where the ball can move a bit faster, you got to put in some extra effort to get to the ball. You're really seeing, all right, let me tell you what this player record for. Upon a little size, right? Since you start training, he drops in size. Since you start playing football from your first game to this game, he has improved very much so. Very much to the point that the coach even saying, well, yeah, he got to me and my starting now.
Okay.
Right? So it's an improvement on most of the guys, even our captain, Rico Baptiste Sass.
he went back in. Remember, my man was sent off, so he went back into the middle of defense and gave a great performance. So, like I said, the energy is there, the support is there from the bench to the management to the fans. So, getting straight on to the season. So, just disrespect this, but you know,
11 men.
Me can't get to play. Me can't get to play football and laugh and shake hands. You can't to put out a very serious competition to the senior, to you know what we call the senior teams.
Right, this is a serious fighting spirit. Well,
I really like what I'm hearing, and yes. I hope that it can come from most of the other players. Yeah. But this year the platform has been set, right? We revert to the traditional way of playing, which all the clubs wanted. And not only that, we're the Morton Four. So, I mean, it is problems from beginning to end.
Yeah.
You understand?
Have to come up
here. Yeah. Even someone runs away with the trophy, with the championship at the top, you just have a fight at the bottom.
For sure.
Believe me. So, I mean, everything is there for the football to be excellent this year. I have seen in my meetings with the clubs, especially the senior clubs, a different attitude. They want to help the BFA and they want to move forward. And that is the beginning of some positive things to come.
I see a certain lady walking to the studio. Don't be fooled by the red she has on. She supports a team that wears green. Reels.
All the way. She has no choice. A Wales fan. Yeah. But yeah, Randy, you must be pleased though, as was mentioned, the demographic of the fans is also changing. You're seeing lots of kids, lots of mums as well.
Right.
And you know my thought on this, wherever the women go, the men tend to follow, even if they didn't want to be there. And
sometimes they don't have no choice.
There you go. And I've always felt that not just football, but sports in Barbados cannot survive with just the hardcore fans.
Right.
You need the other people to come out as well.
Yeah, a beautiful thing is happening from the Capelli. We have these teenagers and young adults coming. And that is a new breed. And what's so good about that is because they're the future. And if we can keep them there, I know that things will grow. Some positive things happening. And I mean, look at it. All the games that have been played so far, I missed three this weekend, but in the first week, the competition was so good, I was surprised. Regardless of the result, I saw a different quality of football on the pitch.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel positive about it.
What I've found is coming back, especially now with the average age of the players dropping, as you mentioned, the younger fans are coming to see their peers in action. And you normally see it at the end of the game when you go outside, lots of very, very young fans who were at football. And because we're on the other side, so we see fans in general. Mm-hmm. But when we get closer to the net, you realize, well, these are a lot of significantly younger fans who 3 seasons ago would not be at the turf on weekends taking in football.
It just shows the growth of the football community at large, you know, because of course we had the older guys but they've graduated now probably to masters and that arena. So now the younger players are coming out. A lot of the under 20 and under 17 players are, you know, knocking around the Premier League team. So their peers are coming out. Their significant others are also coming out and bringing their friends, as I noticed when they go over by the stand. So it's great for football. As the president wants, he wants a continuation of this culture where footballers and their friends and their families all come out to support the beautiful game. And that seems to be the way that we're going. As he said, from the Capelli Cup, I think that was a real all-star tournament that brought out people from all walks of life. And it's continuing to the Premier League, and we just hope that the feeling on the pitch is replicated by everyone in the stands, etc.
Let us give the technical people some kudos too, because up to about 3 years ago, most of the teams were not giving the youngsters a chance. The youngsters, I mean under 21, right? They were more fighting to get a player or to get a look in. Right now, the coaches in the Premier League are using the players who have the talent, the fitness, and the knowledge to carry them to another plane. I mean, there are plenty under 20 under 17, as a matter of fact, under 23 players participating in the competition. And that is a really, really great thing.
Which brings me to a question I had when we took the break, I forgot. And it was, the person was essentially saying, that has the time come for us to mandate that the players, the clubs, play a certain amount of youth players? I think what is happening is that they're playing them by default anyway. So mm-hmm. I don't think we need to mandate it, because if you look at every squad, mm-hmm. there are under 20 players basically in every squad doing very, very well. Mm-hmm. And some of them, because they've been playing Premier League football for so long, mm-hmm. you forget that these guys are 20, 21 at most. And they're still playing some very, very good football.
I think it would be unfair, though, to the clubs
to force it
put
upon
that
them.
Kind of restriction yeah. on them. This is a senior competition. It is the highest level of competition in Barbados. And they need to be able to play the give the players who deserve a play, regardless
place.
Of age yeah. or standing. But what I have seen tells me that these youngsters are performing to a level that they're pushing people out of the way. It is not that they're saying, well, I can play him because he's 15. These youngsters are preparing themselves to play good football.
Before we head off to the full lines, once again, I can give you an idea of what is coming up this weekend in the Barbados Football Association's Coca-Cola Premier League. I went way too far down on this fixture. Of course, games on Saturday and Sunday. We get underway on Saturday at 7, Silver Sands versus Empire. At 9, it's St. Andrew Lions versus Notre Dame. Of course, live coverage from 7 on Hot 95.3 FM. On Sunday, Deacons versus Wotton at 4.
It's a big one.
Yep, Britain Sill versus Weymouth Wales at 6. And a BDF Sports Program versus Paradise.
Game of the season so
at
far.
8, that's a big, big game. I'm mm-hmm. sure lots of fans coming up for that one based on what has been said so far. The good start of Paradise, the traditional excellence of BDF, who basically have all of their frontline players now fit and ready. And that's going to be a good game. Of course, live coverage from 6 on Hot 95.3 FM.
Yeah, we talk about Paradise. We have a Paradise man on the line. Let's welcome Mark Armstrong. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, sir.
How are you doing?
I am well. What about you?
Very great, very great. Welcome to Penalty Spot.
Thanks.
And every, the team that everyone has been talking about this season, Paradise. Come on, give me your assessment of how you think the team has played so far this season.
You're starting to see the hard work that we've been putting in. We've been training since December. The coach has set plans. The management, you know, everything that they need to know about being successful this year. So it's down to the players now. And the thing is that the players have responded well. They've shown the impetus in this whole fight because they actually want to be champions. So it's down to them now.
You lost a few players, but I see you spent a few million.
We watching you, boy.
Tell us about how the guys are fitting in.
the guys are fitting well. I can remember last week we were at practice, and our president, Adrian Donovan, mm-hmm. he asked you guys to get up and say a few words. And Dwight Pope, the guy who plays centre back for us, he got up and said, you know what? I've only been here for a couple of weeks, and it feels like I'm with family. It feels like I'm with family. And that is the whole idea now about Paradise. Everyone is to feel like family. We're trying to do things together to get everyone to, you know, to bond together, to feel like a family. So when we go on the field, it shows on the field.
The two guys, tell us about them.
You know, he has more right, ammunition. He only exposed
Randy, only two so far. I've been hearing that also, Randy.
I was about to get to him, but go ahead.
Right. Well, we have three guys in so far. We have Garnett, who only got his clearance this week. He hasn't featured as yet.
He's from where?
We have
Trinidad.
He's from Trinidad.
Trinidad, okay.
Yeah, we also have Dwight Pope and Shaquille Henry. They're also from Trinidad. And we had a meeting earlier in the year, and we just said that we wanted to strengthen in these certain areas. And when our sponsor, Premier Class Travel, came on board, you know, he decided he was going to help us however we wanted to be helped. Mm. And, you know, we decided to take up the offer and ask for help in certain areas, and he came to us. So Big kudos to Mr. Anthony, our sponsor. So, we welcome all the help we can get.
Tell us about the link to Trinidad. You seem to have gone shopping in Trinidad. How did that come about?
Well, actually, we you know, we saw some clips online and that kind of thing, and our sponsor also worked with a team in Trinidad, and that was the good thing about it. So these players came from the team that he worked with in Trinidad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe answered certain departments in the team, certain facilities. Say, well, you know what? Go online and check clips of this body and that body and this body and that body, and let us know if that fits in your program. And it was well done. It was kudos to him. Thanks to him for all the assistance that he has brought to our life.
I'm often in the area on evenings, and I have not passed Dover for like months now and not seen the teams practicing from youth level to the Premier League team. You seem to be a club in pretty, pretty good shape right now.
Yes, we have teams from in all levels, and we are trying our best to bring them up, you know, through the levels. As you would know, Akil, what is his name, Apple.
Yes.
He came up through the youth team as well. Elijah, he came up through the youth team as well. These are players now. Akil is in the national team. Elijah has started both games for Paradise this year. We just brought up a youth goalkeeper in Justin Neal. You know, he went away to Central League, but now he's back with us. And we brought him into the first team picture as well. So the idea is, if the youngsters are good enough, we're going to give them a chance. Mm-hmm.
And finally, realistic targets for 2020. I know if I ask John Wayne, he'll tell me we're winning everything. what's your target?
The public is saying that, you know, we should win everything.
Okay.
When we have our management meetings, you know, I guess deep inside you would love to win everything, but we try to keep it as real as possible. We're going to target one game at a time and put all of our focus into the upcoming game.
You have your biggest game of the season this weekend so far.
Yep. You guys have prepared that part.
I sense in that a fear.
you heard that, Mark?
There's no fear at all. It's just that, you know, I want the guys to stay focused. I want the guys to stay grounded. I don't want them to think because we want the first two games or over the chest in the air, say that we're champions.
Yeah.
I want to stay focused on the upcoming game. I want to go past that game, then we will focus on the other game. I mean, take one game at a time, and one game at a time can bring you 22 games, you know, 22, 22 threes and 66 points. But that's the way to look at it.
Okay, well, what we want to see, most of all on Sunday night, is a very high-quality game between the two teams. And I believe, Randy, that's what is going to bring the crowds and keep them coming back once that quality is there with the teams.
That is the main thing. I mean, we can't say we're producing a product that people just don't like.
Yes.
It has to, you know, this is the time for it to
it's
end.
It's up to the players.
And I want to tell the people out there that we have two special things going on in this league. One is the Barbados Defense Force Sports Program. Mm-hmm. That is an excellent program. And one is the UWI. I don't think y'all give UWI the kudos for the age group of their Premier League team.
Yeah, they're a very young team this year.
Yes, and they are exposed to the best. The best, their coach is well certified. They have everything at their fingertips in terms of the science of preparation. And obviously, if they can keep their academics in the year, they have an opportunity to get education. Now, with the other 10 teams, they are fighting on their own, right? And they're not really going out and asking for funds, right? You know how it is with business, or pride and things. But I am saying that if you come and support them at the gate, the BFA will be in a position to help these clubs more significant.
Yeah, so we need the fans to come out.
We really need the fans to come out and support. You're not supporting the BFA. You're supporting a section of the young people of Barbados that have some talent in a certain area. And the more support they get, the better they feel about themselves.
Yeah. It's true.
The better the football will become. And they're getting acknowledged through the sport of football. Let me keep it there. That you can have something more positive for young people than what is happening in football.
It makes them feel good about themselves.
Yeah, of course.
So thanks a lot, Mark. Thanks for being a part of the program as we continue with today's edition of the Penalty Spot. Had another question coming in, Nick. It's a bit early in the season, but someone was inquiring about the standard. How would we assess the quality of the teams versus last year? What I would say is that I think we've seen some defensive improvements.
Yeah.
I think we come to football to see goals, yes. But I think the defenses, at least at this stage, are looking a bit more organized than what we are accustomed to. We have not seen any runaway results as yet, even though we've had some of the so-called bigger teams in action against some of the guys who are just being promoted. Mm-hmm. And I think the defensive organization has been better so far, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, some much tighter results, and that's a testament to the defenses. I think every team has focused on defense, and quite rightfully. That game specifically against with Empire and Deacons, Empire losing two players and still keeping a clean sheet. Deacons still kept a clean sheet. They just got promoted and have two clean sheets already. So I think, you know, Wales having two clean sheets already, everybody has really strengthened in the defensive department. I don't know if that is to sacrifice offensive ability, but so far everyone has really shored up on the defense. And that it doesn't make for the most entertaining football, because as you said, we like to see goals. We like to see those passages of play. But the goals, I can say this season, have been much better worked. You see much better football, not just goals scoring that, like, yeah, that score for real, but now teams actually have to work to get these goals. I think Wales had to really work to get that goal against Watton, and in the end they barely got the goal. I didn't even know it scored when it actually scored, because it looked over the goalkeeper's head, and you know, it wasn't straightforward, but that's the type of goal you have to score. You really have to work for it. So whoever wins the league this season definitely will have deserved it. And as we can look at teams like Paradise as front runners, because we see so many forwards in that team. Teams like Wales, we see so many forwards. But one team that the teams that will surprise us this season are the teams that are going to be much more resolute at the back. And Watton, for sure, were very resolute at the back. I even put Sas Baptiste in my team of the week, my unofficial team of the week, even as a defender, even though he wasn't.
Yeah, he had a very good game. And defense. You can see the experience in his positioning. Yeah. He's always hard in the tackle as well. So, you know, if you go down there, you have to brace yourself.
Yeah. Top man.
For what is coming. Yeah. He's always been a great player. But it was good to see him coming back. One of the Wales players, I'm forgetting his name, the Vincentian, would have played with.
Snag.
Not Snag.
No. I think you mean. George, Emerald George.
Emerald George. Good to see him back in the league as well. He went missing after the demise of Rendezvous. And bringing some quality to the teams. And as you said, Sas,
top man.
Definitely added some solidity to that defense. And when Wales went on the offensive, you can always see the slight hesitation as they went down that side.
Yes.
Like, okay, let me just hold tight, because...
Coming only fair range.
Precisely. So the team that really is going to surprise us, whether it be, you know, we expect certain teams to be closer to the top, some teams in the middle, maybe some teams at the end. But those teams that are going to surprise us in that mid-table are going to be the ones that have the better defensive record. And I can see a few candidates for that so far. But still very early in the season, so we'll see what goes on, what transpires.
If anyone has the results of today's quarterfinals in the Schools League, guys, just send me a WhatsApp. I would love to have those results. That competition, Randy, as well, is very, very, very competitive. I mean, any age group football, you look at it, and the under-11s take this thing very, very seriously. We're seeing some systematic football, and more importantly for me at least, more football, because you have the Scotiabank competition, you have the traditional Baico, you have Guardian Group. So much football. Of course, the Coca-Cola Schools League competition as well, which has always been there.
Yeah.
And with the Future Tridents program, with Coach Amin Mohammed, and of course, our technical director, Russell Latipi, you're now having players, now quality players, playing consistent football from 11 straight up to the national teams.
And CONCACAF has just brought in the next split.
Yes.
For girls and for boys.
So you can only get better. And I must say kudos as well to Coach Ladipi. I was having a word with some of the players during the Mortecade. They speak of him, Randy, like he's a wizard descended just to impart knowledge. They say things that you would think you understand. You have a word with him and he feeds you here and gives you a bit more. And it seems to really have had a really positive impact on the national team.
Well, the thing about it is we strategically bought a coach who went there and did that. He has played right through the ranks in Trinidad, the junior teams, senior teams, then pro, Porto and Scotland. And he played get a piece in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So he has played it. He has dealt with people who manage football at the highest level. And obviously, he has a lot to offer us. The thing about it is that we in Barbados always feel we are the hardest without really preparing to be the hardest. And that's why people always say, before St. Lucia can beat us or not, those people are playing St. Lucians that live in the UK and things. They're doing their best to make sure that they have a strong representative team. It ain't the same thing. They're getting the same financing from FIFA as the BFA, right? And in many cases, their funds can go a longer way.
True.
Than in Barbados, you understand? But Ladipi brings knowledge and skills, because if you need to see it, he can show you, right? And I'm looking forward to some really positive things happening. I don't know how long I can keep him, you know what I mean? But I pray that when he's here, he will be here long enough to do enough that we can make a mark in Caribbean football.
Let's head off to the phone lines, 434-1790. Good evening, caller. Welcome to the program.
Hello, hello, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Hey, good evening, Trev.
Yeah, I finally got to the inside. The conversation is very interesting with the president there and then analyst Nick Maitland and you guys chiming in with all the stats and so on as well. But for me, this is probably one of the best starts I've seen of BFA Premier League season. I said this year sponsored by Coca-Cola, simply because the teams look a lot more prepared than we would have seen in the past. And as week number two has shown, the quality of the player is such that some of the big teams can't necessarily steamroll over teams that have just been promoted. And that's simply because their tactics are a lot tighter and they're less pregnant. Teams are less able to break them down as easy as it used to be in the past, as we saw with the final game yesterday. You know, the W's met Weymouth Wales versus Wharton. So two tacticians at it, Ronaldo Giltz as well as Eric O'Malley-Aline. And you can see the results of at least 6 to 8 weeks of hard work from the likes of Wharton and Wales coming into the season. Early days yet, but still you can see that they're both fairly well prepared. And as I said before, Wharton will feel better having only lost just about 1-0 with down to 10 men after 10 minutes. But you can see that the defensive structure of Wharton so far looks fairly solid with the likes of Rico Ford, and they had a gentleman named Keon Harding and Deshaun Bob playing on the right-hand side. Rico Baptiste sacrificed his midfield spot to play it deeper, and that to me was the link, the main chain link that thwarted the Wales from actually getting through and really taking pot shots at the substitute keeper, Rashawn Eiffel, as well. He did very well for a keeper coming in such a big game, second Agreed. Game of the season, to face the wrath of almost what you consider to be a full national selection with the likes of Aidan Holligan for Wales, with Rashida Jeffrey-Williams just off the pace, just a bit, Ramar Miller in the back there, and young national keeper Leon Braffitt, who's toured with the national team most recently to the United States, I believe, as well. So the fact that they didn't hold them to the nil-nil, which way they were looking for, and the goal was difficult to pierce the net. Eventually, with the strike from Romario Hayward, as you know, he was up on his game as well, had a relatively good game as well. I thought Hayden Holligan was looked a lot better than it did in the latter part of the Capelli. Wasn't really on song in the Capelli, but although he did score the winning goal, I thought he played a much better game this season than I've seen him in the Capelli as well. Mario Williams sitting in nice and deep in the back there. He and Miller look like a very formidable combination in the back there. And Williams is becoming a really good utility man as well. So good stuff from the teams that want them to keep it up as they go through the season. It's not going to be easy. And we wish all 12 of them well, although we will be saying goodbye to four. two will come up, and that's what makes it so tight. And I do back what the president was saying too. The fact that you want the quality to remain, you really don't want to see 8-0s and 9-1s, basically, because that suggests that a team is way above the other team, and the team that loses is obviously out of their depth. And we really don't want to see that there in the top league in the island, knowing that that's going to be broadcast all across the world as well. So, as you said, if it does come down to the point where you end up with 10 and you make sure that quality remains tight, and if it doesn't, as you said, you may even have to reduce it more. What it doesn't mean that there'll be spots up for grab then in the teams that do make it to the Premier League. So top players will always gravitate. Instead of playing lower league, they would want to gravitate to the highest level of football where they can be showcased across the world.
Okay, thank you very much, Trevor Thorne. Of course, more from Trevor as we continue throughout the season. Once again, still taking your calls, 4341780. We have about 5 minutes left in the program. We haven't even looked at what is happening in Europe.
Before we get there, I got a few questions from some ladies for Randy. They're asking if he's bringing back the best dressed.
The best dressed.
Best dressed on Sunday.
from Lane Pelican.
I promised them I'll ask him.
Yeah. Well, the truth is we are going to look at anything that we feel would attract patrons to Willy, regardless if they're football people or just want to hang.
Yeah, these are ones that not hardcore, so but they want a couple to enjoy the evening.
We can try things.
Yeah. Someone also.
I said we got an event coordinator and Coca-Cola, they have a lot of good things for the public
so
as the season goes on.
Someone was reminding me last night as well to say thanks for the couple of tents in the area between the bleachers.
Yeah, yeah.
Which allow you, when need be, to run off and run back. And we've had some really great football far.
We're going to try to do more up there. But just give us a chance. Everything will not happen right away. But listen, the patrons, the spectators, they are our customers. And we want them to be happy. But we got some restraints. If you work with us now, you will see that in the long run, we'll make life good for you.
Had a bit of a scare last week as well, a grass fire. You came out, thankfully, on the right side of that, due to some good work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're lucky there because my thing was, I was just hoping the heat don't get
to the turf, pit, right? Yeah.
Because there are going to be problems.
Good dedication by the BFS staff.
Yeah, listen.
Not just on the field, but off the field.
we got some powerful staff down there. I was traded for nothing. But I think the beauty about that maintenance staff, right, that we have, they all come from a football background.
Yes.
Even John, he don't play, mm-hmm. but he live it.
Used right. to manage as well, firehouse in the...
And he see it from...
Yeah.
As a little boy.
Yeah.
So basically all of them got football background. So the what they're doing mean more to them than most.
Yes. Not just a job.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the average employee may just let the fire burn or call the fire station, no. right? But because somebody who are there, so let me get
because
this.
Because I was there, they tell them to come because it's too dangerous. You understand? Wait till the fireman come, but he may do the work. And they're like, the horse now what it was doing.
Because, the patrons, the first thing they will come to the patrons would not be about safety or the employee safety. They right. will be like, oh, when I can stop there and let the whole field get burned out.
Yeah. You understand it.
Yes. But because you got to understand the mentality of the patrons and who you're dealing with.
Yeah. And we want to invite everyone to come on out. Game start, this Saturday, a 7 o'clock game. No 5 game on Saturday. Games at 7 and 9. On Sunday, 4, 6 and 8. If you can't make it, Hot 95.3 FM. But we really want you to come on down and watch a game. If you've just been driving by and seeing it from the outside, come inside. I'm guaranteeing that you'll be surprised by what you actually see. We have a really nice facility. It's getting better every season. Randy every year finds some way to add a piece more and a piece more. And if you see, I saw the plans for the finished project. Mm-hmm. And if you can get there, well, that's going to be a really sight to behold. We have some fans, Paul, now coming up on the far side of the hill and turning on the radios and parking and watching it over the top. We invite you to come on in as well. I see the lights going when the goal scores. Yeah, the flashing lights when the goal scores.
But don't think that. There can always be ratters. People that are ratting. That's dirty ratters.
They watch from that side and from this side. By the Hockey Federation as well. The people over there. Come on and at least watch one game.
They're coming. But we encourage them to come. Have some fun. It is much better than being out there by yourself.
And you see a little piece. Right? Yeah, you can see all.
And you can see all kind of stuff.
There's food, drink, great security.
And girls.
And girls. Lots and lots of girls. And we want to encourage you to come. Of course, we've never had any incidents at all up there. We have great security. Have no fear. It's not, you don't want to cry down the open grounds. Mm-hmm. But it's a different experience to watching football at the open grounds. You have the bleachers, a bar, bathroom facilities, whatnot. Come on down to the turf.
And that game, Curtis, on Saturday night.
That's a big one. I want
to appeal to the fans. Those are communities that have large sections of football fans. Wotton and Deacons.
Yep.
We want to encourage the communities there to come out
BDS and support program, those teams. Of course, will always draw a crowd as well for their game against Paradise. Paradise have their staunch supporters.
We want all of Paradise area to come out on Sunday night for that big game. See if they can take out BDF.
This has been the penalty spot. We're going across the finish line, final whistle, whatnot. And remember, we're back here next Monday once again to give you all the inside deals as we look at the Barbados Football Association's Coca-Cola Premier League. Special thanks to Coca-Cola once again for partnering with the BFA. We look forward to seeing you this weekend, of course, Saturday night at 7 on Hot 95.3 FM. And we get underway on Sunday on Hot at 6. On Saturday, games at 7 and 9 at the turf. And on Sunday, games at 4, 6, and 8. On behalf of the entire team, it's good evening.